Welcome to Inside Ag. I'm Greg Deering. On today's episode, we're welcomed by KFB's Legal Foundation Director, Wendy Grady, who's here to talk with us about electric transmission in Kansas. Wendy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Greg. I'm happy to be here.
We'll get started. I know a big topic out in the countryside right now is NITSEs. What exactly is a NITSE?
Well, a NITSE, or N-I-E-T-C, the letters of it, it stands for National Interest Electric Transmission Corridor. Basically, what a NITSE is a corridor that's designated by the Department of Energy, and the goal is to help expedite and streamline electric transmission build-out in places where the country, where there's grid congestion or insufficiency. Once NITSE is designated, it does open up some additional federal funding for the transmission build out, but it also allows FERC to have backstop authority. What that backstop authority does is allow FERC, or the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, it allows them to basically override state agency decisions on transmission buildout. So in the state of Kansas, Kansas Corporation Commission, or KCC, is usually who oversees electric transmission buildout in our state. FERC would be able to override their decisions. So if a transmission line in this corridor applied to get approval from the Kansas Corporation Commission, and it was denied, then FERC would be able to override that and approve the line in it instead. But there's a lot of misinformation about NITSEs out there, so I just want to talk about a few of those up front because they're really important. So first, there would be, if we do have one of these corridors designated in Kansas, there would be no immediate impact to a landowner's use of their own property. So only if a new transmission line were to apply for approval and receive that approval from Kansas Corporation Commission or through FERC if they use that backstop authority, that's the only time someone's property may be impacted. And in that case, any new transmission line that's located within the NITSE would still have to go through that approval process and acquire the easements either through voluntary means or the use of eminent domain where they're required to pay just compensation. And then those new lines, once constructed, you would not know the difference in operation between them or any other transmission line within the state already.
And I think you've mentioned this already, but Kansas does not currently have a NITSE in place, correct?
That's correct. There have been two proposed NITSEs. So back in May, I believe the Department of Energy proposed 10 different NITSEs around the U.S., and two of those are located in Kansas. And I'm going to look at my notes here because I usually get to show maps where I talk about these, but this time I'm going to talk about the counties where they're located. So two NITSEs, one of them is the Midwest Plains. It starts in Ford County, kind of angles toward Great Bend, goes north beyond Osborne County, or the city of Osborne, and then east where exits Kansas through Doniphan County. That NITSE corridor is proposed to be 5 miles wide. But there's a second corridor that's been proposed too. It's called the Plains Southwest. That is not such a neat line to follow. It's a much wider NITSE or corridor in width, but it would have impacts for Grant, Haskell, Gray, Ford, Stevens, Seward, and Meade counties.
The first NITSE that you mentioned there, the proposal, I know it's kind of connected to the Grain Belt Express, kind of not necessarily the same thing. What is going on with that proposal?
So let me first talk about what the Grain Belt Express is. So it is an HVDC line, so high voltage direct current line. It's 800 miles long. I think 380 of those miles would be within the state of Kansas. It would take pretty much new renewable energy that's developed around Ford County and transport that energy out of state to Missouri and Illinois or states further east. So the Grain Belt Express has received approval within the state of Kansas from the Kansas Corporation Commission. In 2011, it received a certificate of convenience to operate as a transmission-only utility. So it's not providing any energy to Kansas consumers. And then in 2013, it received its line siting approval from the Kansas Corporation Commission. So it's been approved for more than a decade in Kansas. And the Midwest Plains NHTSE, that one that starts in Ford County and kind of angles up and over and exits in Doniphan County, that NHTSE was essentially drawn right over top the Grain Belt Express transmission line.
But 5 miles wide, and there's not going to be power lines that are 5 miles wide through there, right?
That's right. So, yes, it is proposed to be 5 miles wide, although we hope that's narrowed. In fact, the owner of the Grain Belt Express has indicated they, too, would like to see that corridor narrowed, and they've filed with, comments with Department of Energy seeking it to be narrowed from 5 miles to a half mile. And again, it doesn't mean that there's going to be parallel transmission after parallel transmission. It's just a width where transmission could be developed and get those extra financial incentives from the federal government or backstop authority, which for the Grain Belt Express is unnecessary, the backstop authority in particular, because it has all the approvals it needs under state law. It would, however, benefit from additional funding and sources from the federal government.
Would that backstop authority, while not necessarily useful for Kansas, isn't that, I guess, maybe the goal behind this? More eastward as you cross into some of the other states that have not yet approved the line through their territory?
Yes. So Missouri and Illinois, they've been very long-fought battles for the owner of the Grain Belt Express line to get approvals there in those states. They had recently gotten approvals in both Missouri and Illinois, but both of those approvals are being challenged in court. The Missouri one is still being challenged. The Illinois approval was actually overturned or vacated by a court because they said that the owner of the Grain Belt Express did not prove that they had the financing to or the contracts, necessary contracts to sell that energy in order to get that approved in Illinois. So, yes, if those are ultimately not approved by the state agencies in those states, they will likely seek that federal backstop authority through FERC.
And I know you've been spending a lot of time on this. You've presented in several of the counties where these proposed NHTSEs are going. What policy does Kansas Farm Bureau have on it, and where are members at on that policy?
So our grassroots developed process or policy generally supports transmission build-out to meet the growing demand of electric energy. So that's the first thing to point out. But we recently had an energy working group that was appointed by our board. It was a 2-year commitment from members across the state that have an interest or background in energy issues. And I would say that they took steps to strengthen landowner rights and eminent domain actions. So while we support transmission build-out, we still want to protect landowner rights in those cases. But as to NHTSE policy in particular, AFBF policy, which we are bound by in our state, opposes NHTSEs. Specifically, they oppose the backstop authority that would allow FERC to override state agency decisions, but then also the use of eminent domain to acquire easements for transmission within those corridors. So because of that policy, Kansas Farm Bureau, along with other state farm bureaus and AFBF, have filed several comments over the past couple years opposing NHTSEs. And then once the designations came out in May, where those two NHTSEs were proposed in Kansas, we initially, you know, we opposed the NHTSE in general. But alternatively, if they go forward with those designations, they both should be narrowed greatly in scope so that, you know, landowners know really how their property or if their property could be impacted by the NHTSE.
And again, there's two of these NHTSE proposals in Kansas. Where Where is everything at with that process? Is one ahead of the other? When do we get some clarity on what those are, and what would success look like for engaging on this issue?
So there are four phases that the Department of Energy is going through in the designation of NITSEs. Phase two was when they came out with that proposed list of 10 different NITSEs across the U.S. That technically closed, the comment period for that closed in June, but we've been told by Department of Energy that if folks want to continue filing comments, they can do so. And then in phase three, which is, you know, the phase they're working toward right now or working within right now, they will come out with a revised list of NITSE corridors. That list, there could be narrowed corridors. We definitely hope that's the case, especially, the real win would be if one or more of the corridors were removed, or at least portions of them removed from the designated list. Alternatively, they could be narrowed. And so we would love for Department of Energy to remove those designations in Kansas, or at minimum reduce the width of the Midwest Plains from 5 miles to a half mile, like we've asked for and the company that owns the project has asked for as well.
And for our listeners out there who want to learn more about this process, just kind of everything that's gone on, is there a good website to send them to check out?
Yes, we have. I have a page on the Legal Foundation website where I've tried to collect all the information that can be helpful to folks to learn more about these. We have copies of the comments that we've filed over the years. We have copies of proposed rules, the designations from Department of Energy. There's an FAQ from the Kansas Corporation Commission, which is helpful. A lot of different things, not only on the NITSEs, but also on the Grain Belt Express and then other transmission projects in Kansas. Or there's an investigation going at the Kansas Corporation Commission right now that is studying the line siting process within the state. We've intervened in that case, and I've put some comments and other things out there that pertain to that. So if folks want to learn anything transmission, or at least what I'm working on right now, they can go to the KFB website. So www.kfb.org, and then scroll to the Legal Foundation website, and it'll be one of the first things on the home screen there.
And we'll definitely include a link to that in the show notes. So if you're listening at home and want to check that out, I encourage you to do that. But for folks who may be in a proposed NITSE, what is the best way to engage now? What avenues exist now and maybe even in the future here as this continues to roll on?
Well, as I mentioned, they can file comments currently just through an email address at Department of Energy, and I can put that list out on the website too, because I don't think that is there, that email address where you could file comments. But also, during phase three of the designation process, there is going to be some FERC-led community outreach and more opportunities to provide comments once we get that narrowed list and really know, you know, a landowner will know then if it's proposed to impact their property or not. And if so, they'll have a better idea of what comments to file and more opportunities to do that. But in addition to checking in on our website occasionally, where we'll post information about this, I'll try to push this information through our e-news. So if folks want to sign up for e-news, that would be a good way to get some information about this too.
Anything else you'd like to add before we go?
I don't think so. I just encourage folks to really do their homework on this. There's some misinformation out there, so I encourage folks to do their homework. They want to learn more. We have a one-hour presentation that I gave in Cocker City that deals with the Grain Belt Express and with NITSEs in general. If you don't want to read all the information, that'd be a great place to start.
Wendy Grady, the director of the Kansas Farm Bureau Legal Foundation. Wendy, thanks for coming on the show today.
Thanks, Greg.
If you've enjoyed the podcast, please give it a like and share with others. I'm Greg Deering. And this has been Inside Ag from Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture.